Today's daf, brought to you by Ben Chomot Yerushalayim, is as good as gold. Daf Pei Zayin. And now, we are up to Pei Vav Amud Beit. We just finished discussing Rabbi Yehuda's Shita, about how it is we can be makel specifically when it comes to Mayim, and we don't have to be machmer with mechitzas. We can allow everyone mechitzas. Tluya, things that we would never normally allow. Today the Gemara wants to point out that this approach to being very makel when it comes to a mechitza over water was also the approach of Rabbi Hananya ben Akavya, despite the fact that it wasn't quite the same. In other words, we're looking at a general sense of what we can get away with when it comes to water. And again, the issue over here is we're dealing really with an extremely important need of people, which is to get water into their homes, obviously not faucets and so on. And we're ready, because of the difficulty of making real mechitzas inside the water and so on, we're ready to find whatever way we can to make a hecker that the Rishuyas Rabbanan we shouldn't have to be mocked on. Therefore, today, points out Rabba, five lines up from the bottom, the last word, Omar Rabba, Rabbi Yehuda, and Rabbi Hananya ben Akavya, basically have the same approach about seeing to it that we should follow a kula. Amruda Varachat. Rabbi Yehuda, as we said earlier, Rabbi Hananya ben Akavya actually can be seen from the following braita. Rabbi Hananya ben Akavya Omer, Gizustrashi Yeshba Arba Amot al Arba Amot. Suppose you have a porch. And a Gizustra is actually not really what we would call a porch. It's a flat board that extends outwards, out of your window or door. It doesn't have any makya around it. There's no railing. And it's just this board that's sticking out, we assume right now, it's sticking out outside of your house. And we're going to see that that's not really the case, but let's assume for a moment that it is.
How's it used? Put things on it? Or
yeah, you could put your chalent on it, or most importantly, it's used for bringing up water, because you live in Venice, and this is going right outside over the water in Venice. So now, what can you do with that? Says Rabbi Hananya ben Akavya, what you have to do is create a truly virtual mechitza. And this is the first time we've touched on this idea, cutouts. Cutouts are called kfof, which means that you pretend that you can cut out a piece of the wood and bend it down. So therefore, let's see if we can get a picture here of this. Therefore here, once you've got 4 amot by 4 amot, how many tfachim do you have? 24 by 24, correct? Once you've got 24 by 24, if we take a look in this picture, you have enough space to have a 4x4 hole. Imagine you've got a 4x4 hole, 4 tefachim by 4 tefachim. And then if you had scissors, and this was made out of paper, if you cut up to that hole on all four sides and you bend down the sides, what do you get? A pipe. 10 tefachim high, 4x4. What is that? Then the pipe continues virtually because of gudachit into the water. And therefore, you could carry right through it without doing anything, other than obviously having a hole through which you could pull the water. Now, this is tremendous cool. In other words, what we're doing is we're combining a couple of serious chidushim here in terms of the kula of mechitzas. So we're saying kvof on a cutout, which is a one kula, and then we're also saying gudachit to allow it to go down into the water, to make the yushetayachit extend into the water virtually. So this really is even going beyond Rabbi Yehuda. And the Gemara will point this out in a minute. You can't really say that Amru Davar Achad. We have no way of knowing if they would agree with each other, as we'll see. So if you've got 4 Amot by 4 Amot, which is 24 Tefachim by 24 Tefachim, all you need to do is make a hole of 4 Tefachim by 4 Tefachim, leaving 10 Tefachim on either side, and that becomes your Rishat Ayachim. Omalei Abaya, I don't understand, Rabbi, how you could say they said the same thing. We have no way of knowing that they would even agree with each other. Because Adkan lo kam Rabbi Yehuda melad yamar gud achit mechitzata. What did Rabbi Yehuda say? That if you have a real mechitza that is over the water, the mechitza can extend downwards. I mean, but this whole business of cutting out and folding, my gosh, I mean, that is like serious topological manipulation. How do you know that Rabbi Yehuda would go along with that? So kof and agod together, I mean, maybe he wouldn't hold that. Maybe it's too big of a kula. And furthermore, as we're going to see later, the Maisa of the Het of Rabbi Hananya ben Akavya was set specifically in Tveria. And therefore, it was a reference to the Yama Kinneret and not to general water. And the reason that the Yama Kinneret would be more cow would be because the Yama Kinneret is completely surrounded either by ognim, hoel v'yeshla oganim, or ayarot, or karfifot, makifotota. So just like bizman hazeh, one of the depressing things about the Yam HaKinneret is that wherever you go, there's some kind of mitkan. Either you have the boats coming up at the edge and a large drop into the Yam, which is 10 tefachim right there, or you've got these parking areas where they put up these mechitzas around the area to keep it private or make sure you pay your money when you come in. Or you've got places that are preserves of nature that are surrounded by mechitzas. But there's nowhere in the Yam HaKinneret that doesn't have a mechitza around it. So even though the Yam HaKinneret is obviously still only a karmelit, because by definition, the usage of yamim can never allow it to be true because Rabbanim were machner. However, there's a little bit of a hecker there that you're not going to come to confuse the Yam HaKinneret with the Rishut HaRabim. And remember that the overall takona that we have to be machron a karmelit is because the Rabbanan felt that something that is of a sufficient size and it's not mukha fudira, we should give it a chumrah. It's confusable with the Rishut HaRabim. So, okay, but here where we have some kind of hacker, maybe there and only there, Rabbi Hanani ben Akavya said, you don't have to worry about getting confused.
Doesn't come a Rishut HaRabim by the
Even Sar? 600,000 people carpeting the Yam HaKinneret. You sometimes feel like that. Oh, God. Yeah. When you remember how quiet it used to be, oh, my God. Anyway, so maybe only there. But what you're saying is a rule that you can rely on this type of mechitza, a cutout mechitza, b'shar yamot. Who's to say that Rabbi Hananya would have even agreed to review it as hanging mechitza? Maybe not. Om Rabbaya, and I want to make it clear that Rabbi Hananya ben Akavya would have taken this, actually, much further than you have. Because the truth is, what Rabbi Hananya ben Akavya was referring to, as we're going to see later, is a drilling platform. And the hole is the place where you put in the oil rig. But there's nothing near it. It's sitting in the middle of the sea. But in a case where it was really next to your home, everything changes. And here, consider the following. If it was near the wall of your house, okay? Now, that would mean that once it's less than 3 tefachim, it no longer needs to be the full 4 amot by 4 amot, correct? Because then, if it has only 11 and a little bit more, you add the 3 minus a little bit, which is lovah, to make it the full amount that you need. So therefore, once it was 4 amot long, it doesn't have to be 4 amot wide anymore. It only has to be a chadasar umashu. Why? Well, consider. One wall is the wall of your home. You certainly don't need better than the wall of your home. You don't need any wall on that side. On the other side, you don't need the full amount of the 10 fucking plus the 4x4 that you're going to bring the water up from, because you've got lovewood. And lovewood gives you the additional area that is necessary to get your full 14. So you've got 11 plus and the 3 minus equals 14. Take off the 4 for the hole, the 10 for the virtual wall that you're bending down. That's all you need. Why would you need 4 amot to make 2 walls? So there you go. And of course, it's from there that we come to recognize that the real din of Rabbi Hananya was only referring to a drilling platform, because any place that it's up against the wall, he would never have said this. But that we'll get to in a moment. Furthermore, says Abaya, I want to clarify something else which is very interesting. Suppose this board was not sitting there horizontally, but it was vertical, so that it was a folding table, so to speak, outside of your window. Now it's vertically up against the side of the wall. Okay. Once it's vertical, forget about folding it down. If it would be 10 tefachim high, it itself is already a mechitza. The other side is a mechitza because it's the wall of your house. So now all you have to worry about is the area of the mechitzas on the other two sides to make the pipe. But to create the mechitzas on the two sides to make the pipe, you could rely on lovewood. If you've got a little bit extra on each side, then you've got a lovewood and a kafof together. Therefore, all you need is a height of 10 tefachim, a width of 4 tefachim plus 1 tefach on either end and a little bit more on either end to fold over virtually, So that it now, and this is now a new kiddush, because what we're saying is that the virtual fold creates the lovud. Before we started with a lovud and then we made the fold. Over here we make the fold in the wood to pretend that it's within three tefachim of the wall. And now we've created an artificial wall by bending the wall in, also virtually. So we have two virtual steps before we even get to the third virtual step of gudachis. Even that would be okay, according to Rabbi Hanan. And here is the picture. This is your virtual wall. All you need to do is make the fold on the end of one tefach on either end into the wall of your house so that it comes up to within three tefachim of your house, and you've got a make-believe pipe going straight down out of your window, right down into the water. Amazing.
Has to be an enclosure, is that the idea?
Yeah, a virtual enclosure to allow you to pull it up. Amazing. It's just fantastic. Right? I mean, this is basically the way Israeli plumbers work. The pipes are always virtual pipes. So, okay, that's the other case that you could get away with. So all you need is six tefachim, which includes the four tefachim plus another one plus a little bit on either side. So you need a rochav shisha tefachim plus two mashuots. Omer of whenever either of Yeshua, let's do a better job. Suppose this was at the corner of your home and another home that jutted out a little bit, okay? Now you're starting off with two walls because you've got the house that's at the 90-degree angle to you. You've got your own home. Now all you need is one virtual fold if you've got the 10 tefachim, okay? So if it was in a Keren Zovit, all you would need is a gova of six of 10 tefachim, of course, and then all you would need is a thickness of two tefachim and two mashahus. Because in that case, all you have to do is get it to within three tefachim of one of the walls and then have enough to bend over one tefach and another mashu to the other wall, and you're set. So basically, you've got the corner wall, right? That's two walls. Sorry. You don't want to have this gezustra need to be all the way up against one of the walls. Why waste a good lovud when you can use it? So therefore, make it lovud to one of the walls. Okay, that already gives you four tefachim, right? A lovud. Then all you need is a little tiny bit to bend over with a lovud of the 90-degree angle wall. So you get away with basically a wall that barely exists. Because it's all... There's nothing to do. No worry at all. Do we have any clear?
I'm looking for the
no. All right. Very good. And then that would be the ultimate getting away with murder. Wait a minute. But if this is the case, where the heck would you ever find a situation where you would need the four amas by four amas, which was the initial statement of, I mean, by making all of these new virtual realities, you have basically locked out the original situation. So Hadatani Rukhanani Ben Akavya, that in a gezustra, which has four amot by four amot, all you need to do is a hole of four by four. Why would you ever need a case like that? Eichem Ashkachatla. Ah, it's talking about here where you made it as a drilling platform, which is a proof that somewhere in the Yama Kinneret, there would be oil.
Found it in the Mediterranean.
That's right. So Diavida Beasita, you made it basically like a raft, so to speak, over the water.
Not near your building.
Not near any wall at all. So you don't have any of these virtual potentials and these lovud potentials. There you're left to reality. And in reality, you make a paper cutout of a metallic drilling platform.
But then how do you get it to your house?
You
live on the platform?
Yeah, well, of course. People live on the platform for 3 months at a time. That's why I give them good. That's good money out there. Okay, continues there. Hey, look at Mishnah. Moving on now with another case, we talked about a bor that was in a chatzer, and a bor that was between two chatzerot. We get to a more complex situation when we have moving water that is flowing through your chatzer, and it goes directly under the wall of the chatzer on one end, coming in, under the wall of the chatzer on the other end, going out, and moves on to the following chatzer.
A little stream going through your chatzer.
Yeah, well, it's an irrigation ditch that is connected to a real water source somewhere, and this goes through the whole town. Now, the issue over here is that the Avat HaMayim, because of the fact that it's connected to all of this, is certainly viewed as a karmelite. In that case, you cannot be memale, according to the Rabbanan on Shabbos, unless you actually make a mechitza within the thing itself. So there has to be a mechitza that is nicker, that it was for the water, and it's hanging in the width of the pipe or the channel itself. Gavua asarat vachim on both sides. And once again, Rabbi Yehuda is makel, and Rabbi Yehuda is mater, even in this case, that to say that the kotel, which goes above it, which is good enough to be the wall for your chatzar, is certainly good enough to be the wall for the water. Even though it's not inside, that doesn't matter. And we say, God achit. So that is tidum mishum mechitza. Omer Rabbi Yehuda, ma'aseh ba'ama shel avel. There was an actual case that I can report to you and show you that you're wrong. You do not need a mechitza inside the area of the water channel. Because they had this actually in the city of Avel. We know the city of Avel Mechuzah. All of the Gedolei Torah, the Bezdin, were matir them to take water out of that into their chotzer on Shabbos without any kind of mechitzas. Obviously, they were relying, as I did, on the mechitza of the chotzer itself. And the Chachamim answered Rabbi Yehuda, you're right, that did happen, but it's no raya. The reason that they were matired over there is because it didn't have a shiur, meaning it was not 10 tefachim deep. It was not 4 tefachim by 4 tefachim. And because of that, anything of that size that is inside of a real rishos becomes batel to the rishos. And therefore, they were matired even with the mechitza tluya. But if it was deep enough and wide enough to be mechalik rishut la'atzma, and what rishut would it be mechalik la'atzma? A din of a karmelite. So in such a case, the chachamim would never have been matired unless you built a mechitza inside of it. The Braita clarifies that this is not a heker bialma that you could do just on one end and say, okay, I separated out my piece of the water from the overall flow. I'll just make it in the knisa, or I'll just make it in the yitziah. That's no good. Asula b'knisa v'lo asula b'yitziah. Or asula b'yitziah v'lo asula b'knisa. Ein mimalin heimena b'shabbat. That is simply, gentlemen, not good enough. You've got to have it both. Both in the Yetziyah and in the Knesset. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, absolutely unnecessary. The Kotel She'al Gaba, which is the Kotel of the Mechitza, is perfectly valid as a Mechitza for the water itself. Omer Rabbi Yehuda, I will prove it to you. There was a Mas in the Amat HaMayim, and that Amat HaMayim went all the way from the city of Avel to Tzipori. And they used to use it, Alpi Azekinim, to take out water on Shabbos, and nobody ever complained about it. Now you guys are coming along and saying, you need to make a mechitza now. Amrulo Misham Raya. What kind of Raya is that? The case over there, as well you know, is it was either not 10 tefachim deep, or it was not 4 tefachim wide. Because of that, it wasn't Mechalik Rishut Latzma. It's basically a Mokum Ptur that is batal to the Rishus in which it is. Tanya Ida has another interesting brayta which we need to understand that sheds light on this whole story. Amat HaMayim, here we've got the case of a water channel that is going along and it's got houses built on both sides. And these houses have little windows, and through these windows they throw out their buckets and their mamale from the ama. Is that mutter? Only if it's less than 3 tefachim. Now, what is less than 3 tefachim? That is very murky. And we're going to have to explain what that means, even if the water is clear, but 3 tefachim isn't. So if it's less than 3 tefachim, it's okay to be mishal shaladli and be mamala. But if it's 3 tefachim, then already, I guess it's because of lovod, right? I mean, 3 is always a din of lovod. If it's 3 tefachim, then you cannot be mishal shaladli and mamala. And Rav Shimon ben Gamliel says, no, it's not 3 tefachim that defines it, it's 4 tefachim that defines it. Now again, this sounds very much like Rav Shimon ben Gamliel's shita all over, that 4 is an inner lover. Now, that may be misleading us, or it may really have to do with that. Let's see, when the Gemara discusses it. If it would already be 4 tefachim, then ein mishal shel dli u'mamala. Now, ask the Gemara, what are we talking about over here, 3 or 4? What 3 or 4? B'mayaskina. We're talking about the shiur of the actual Amat HaMayim itself? How wide the Amat HaMayim is? The Amat HaMayim Gufa? I mean, why in the world would we have a discussion of three or four? Isn't the shiur of a Carmelite, by definition, four, according to everybody? That wasn't a function of Lavud. That was a function of Chiluk Rishuyos. I never had noted a connection between the din of Lavud and the din of Mokum Choshev in terms of Chiluk Rishuyos. Are you trying to tell me that when Rav Dimi is the famous mimer of Rav Dimi, who when he came from Eretz Yisrael, quoted all over that Rabbi Yochanan had said there's no such thing as a Carmelite that is less than 4x4. You're telling me that that was going according to Rav Shimon ben Gamliel? And that a Carmelite could really be 3x3? I can't believe it. That whole din of a Carmelite was said as part of the machlokas between Rav Shimon ben Gamliel and the Rabbanan? That is astounding. It's very difficult to believe. Okay, so I don't want to say that. Ela ba'agapeh. What it must be talking about is like this. Not the Amat HaMayim, but rather the wall that is up on the side of the Amat HaMayim, which separates between the Amat HaMayim and the houses and their windows. And what we're talking about over here is if the side of the Amat HaMayim is raised in such a way that it's less than three tvachim, and that's what we're talking about. Here would be the picture. There's the Amat HaMayim in blue. There are the windows. And then there's that little space with the pretty grass on it, which is the agapayim. Okay? Right up there. So now what we're saying is like this. We want to create a mokum p'tur. And we want to say that this mokum p'tur on the side is sufficient to allow you to be machlif between two rishuyos. Your house is rishuyos hayachid. The Amat HaMayim is a Carmelite. Ah, but there's a mokum p'tur between the Carmelite and the rishuyos hayachid. Remember that a mokum p'tur allows you to use it between two rishuyot. But of course, what we'd have to say over here is that you would be allowed to take the bucket out of the Amat HaMayim, set it down on the mokum p'tur, and then take it from the mokum p'tur into your home, which is essentially being machalif using a mokum p'tur. Now, we never allowed that before. We allowed either one rishus or the other to use the mokum p'tur. But we always said, don't try to exchange, don't be a smart aleck, and use the mokum p'tur as a way of transferring between a rishus, which is usur. Once it's three tvachim, it's not considered to be a mokum p'tur anymore, because it's bottle to the Carmelite. Okay. Or it's bottle to the window, depending on how close it is to that.
Less than three.
If it's less than three, it has no hashivas, it's a mokum p'tur. Problem is, v'hakiyot Rav Dimi Amar Rav Yochanan, mokum she'in bo arba al arba, it may be mutter for people in Rishut HaYachid, and it may be mutter to the people in Rishut HaRabim to put things down on, but they must not use it to switch their things, to take from one rishus to the other, even though they stop in the middle. We don't allow that. So that would mean that even if it was referring to the agapayim over here, how would we allow you to set your bucket down and then move your bucket into the window, or vice versa? We should not be allowed to do that, you see? So that can't be the answer. No, it can be, it can be, says the Gemara, because look, there's a big difference between when Rav Dimi quoted Rabbi Yochanan as asering, transferring between one and the other. What was he talking about? B'nei Rishut HaRabim and B'nei Rishut HaYachid. For God's sake, those are Zanisa D'Oraisa. So over there, if you would actually go directly from one to the other, you would be dealing with the D'Oraisa. So obviously we're going to be machmer there. But over here, what are we talking about? For heaven's sakes, taking out of a Carmelite into Rishut HaYachid, which anyway is mutter, Miyikara did. So maybe over here, we might make him. Not so bad. And when it says three, it's referring to the Agapayim, and it's talking about to what extent would we view it as a mokum that is a mokum tour, and therefore we allow you to set your bucket down, put your bucket down from your window, put it into the water, take it out of the water, set it down, and then bring it up into your window, and everything is fine. Now it's called achlafa, and maybe dafka, the bavat shelo yachlif, was hata rishiyot d'oraita, whereas archa, it's rishiyot d'rabanan.
Also, we have the idea by mayim that we will make
Okay, but that's mechitza b'mayim. This is not a mechitza b'mayim. The only place where we found the kula is to be semech on a very virtual mechitza. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu Melech Haolam she'hakol nihyeh bedvaro. Says the Gemara, that doesn't seem to work either. Why? Because we know that Rabbi Yochanan, although it's true that it says over here, you can't be machlef between Rishut HaRabim and Rishut HaYachid, we know that Rabbi Yochanan extended that ma'amar even to Rishuyot Rabbanan. Where do we see that? Rishuyot Rabbanan, Nami Amar, he said his din even there. Because remember the Mishnah, that's not. We had the Mishnah before, in which it says if you have a kotel that goes between two chatzerot, it's 4 tefachim wide, it's 10 tefachim high. There's no door between these two chatzerot. They have no choice but to have 2 separate eruvim because they have no door between them. Now, what about the top of the kotel? So first of all, the din is ma'arvim shnayim. They must have 2 separate eruvs, one for each chatzer, and they have no option of making themselves into one big chatzer. Ein ma'arvim echad. But if there are some delicious grapes on top of this kotel, each group from each chatzer are allowed to go up to the top of the wall and eat. Elo ochlin mikan v'ochlin, elo ochlin mikan v'ochlin, and it's fine, as long as they're not taking it from one to the other, because even though they have no air between each other, vis-a-vis each chatzer, the top of the wall is considered to be a part of their allowed usages. Once there's a break in the wall, which is less than, it's 10 amot or less, then if they want to, they could be ma'arvim shnayim, because it's like a door. Or if they want to, they could be ma'arvim echad, because that has a din of a petach. Once it's more than 10, then they have no choice. They are considered to be one big chatzer, because it's more than 10, it's a pirtza and not a petach. These are all simple din we've had before, leading up to what it is that's important to us today. So over there, the ma'arvim echad ve'erek, main ma'arvim shnayim. And we wanted to know, if you remember, when we learned that Mishnah, and we're going to come to it again, we wanted to know, what if it didn't have Arba Atfachim on top of the kotel? What would be the din? And Rav said, oh boy, then you're in major trouble. Why are you in major trouble? Because since it's not Chelek Rishus La'atzman, basically you have an avir of 2 Rishuyot that are ruling over the same place without an Erev. And if 2 Rishuyot rule over the same place without an Erev, you are not allowed to move anything in that area. And this is a remarkable situation, which is a test case for the theory of Arba Amot Rishut HaRabim, because this is an amazing situation. It turns out that here, we're being more machmir than in Rishut HaRabim D'Oraita. Rishut HaRabim D'Oraita, you're allowed to move within Arba Amot, as long as you don't take it out of Arba Amot. But on top of this wall, you can't move a centimeter, says Rav. Why not? How could it be more chomer? So the explanation that's given by the Achronim is an amazing explanation. And that is actually Rishonim, the Ramaram is the same explanation. In a Rishut HaRabim, each, as the Gemara says, each Arba Amos is considered to be Rishus La'atzma. So therefore, within a 4x4 Amot area, that's the extended personal space, as we've seen, and that is your space. Move out of that, starts a new space.
Like a checkerboard.
Yeah, exactly. Except that it's constantly moving from where you started. But over here, the rishus of the 2 chatzerot on the side are being sholeit on the kota. That means that it doesn't have rishus liatzmo at all. If it doesn't have rishus liatzmo, what would be the meaning of 4 amot? Absolutely meaningless. So, you know, your first take is, well, it can't be more common than rishus rabim, so I should at least be allowed to move Arba Amos. But the truth is, you're not allowed to move Arba Amos. You're allowed to move within the Rishus. That's all. But over here, since you have 2 Rishuyas that are contradictory and have no Eruv, you can't move it at all. It's amazing.
You can go up there,
astounding.
Stay there.
You can't move anything an inch.
Eat your food then.
You can't. You can't even move it to your mouth. You can't do anything, says Rav. You're stuck.
No man's land.
Right. It's no man's land, essentially, because it's 2 man's land. And 2 man's land with no Erev is no man's land. So if it's Arba by Arba, then it's not batal to the Rishuyas. So each wall could go in a chatzer. Remember that you are allowed, all the chatzeros are viewed as the same Rishuyas, All the gagos of the shemesh. It's only the things that were in the house that you're not allowed to move. So you can go up there. You can eat there. You can both eat there. You're not shaylate on it because you don't have particular rishus to it because it's a rishus because the answer. But once it's less than four, then amazingly it becomes much more common because it needs an eruv. No lover. It's not mechalek rishus liatzmi. Therefore, it becomes bottle to each chatzim. This is glorious. I mean, the underlying consistency and clarity of the Hagdaras of Erev, and it's overwhelmingly beautiful. Okay. So this is what Rav typed. V'lo yozish bo maloni ma. You can't move it a hair's breadth. Now, Rav Yochanan argued on Rav, and here's where we get to the issue of Rav Yochanan. Rav Yochanan argued on Rav over there, and he said, not true. You can actually go up, and you can eat, and shon al Yisroel. Elumal and mikan v'ochlim, elumal and mikan v'ochlim, and that's perfectly okay, and you can move things, and it's fine. And why is this? Oz the Rav Yochanan l'taime. This is Rav Yochanan l'shitato, because when Rav Dimi came along, he said that Rav Yochanan said that a mokum she'en ba arba al arba is mutar levnei reshut harabim, levnei reshut hayachid, lekatefalab, ubovat shelo yachlifu. Now for heaven's sakes, if we're applying this din of Rabbi Yochanan to the case of a koto between two chatzeros, we are dealing entirely with Rishuyas Derabbanan. And nonetheless, we applied that same dictum of Rabbi Yochanan, Ubavat Shelo Yachlif, to this case, for heaven's sake. So don't try to tell me that the case of the Amat Amayim, the three Tvachim, was a reference to the Agapayim in order to create a Mokum Ptur, and that was the issue over here, to allow you to take your bucket from one rishus to the other, because after all, it's only rishus derabanan. If over here Rabbi Yochanan said, even by rishus derabanan, we do not allow you to switch between one rishus and the other, we only allow you to utilize whatever rishus is closer to you, either the Amat Amayim or the Chalon, but you can't have it both ways. Ha! So now we're really stuck. What is the meaning of the three tvachim, for heaven's sakes? Well, no, wait a minute. Rav Dimi says, I never said that. Ze'iri said that. And Ze'iri's approach in Rav Yochanan is indeed different. However, Rav Dimi was claiming that Rav Yochanan was referring only to Rishiyas D'oraita. And therefore, this little piece of Elu Mala Mikan, Mala Mikan, that's Ze'iri. And that is not what I ever quoted, okay? So for me, it's fine. Okay, fine. But Ziri's got to have an approach. What about according to Ziri? But Ziri, we have a problem. We said less than three, and we proved that that's got to be referring to the Agapayim, and we said that you are allowed to put your bucket down and then move it from one rishus to the other. So fine, Rav Dimi has an explanation. Well, what's Ziri's going to explanation going to be? Ah, answers the Gemara. Ziri explains that the three is referring to the Amat Hamayim itself. That's the case. And according to him, I don't understand. Didn't we say before that Rabbi Yochanan said there's no such thing as a Carmelite less than four? So how could suddenly three and love it have to do with Carmelite? According to Ze'iri, it does. And according to Ze'iri, what Rav Dimi claimed before is actually a machlokes tanoim between the Rabban and Rav Shimon Gamliel. Sorry to all of a sudden at this point in the Masechta to bring you this bad news that would be true. I'll leave it as a Ziri. Ask the Gemara, but don't we have another problem here? You're telling me that if the Amat Hamayim is thin and then it has the din of being a Mokum Ptur or not being a Carmelite, right? Outside of this chutz, wasn't it wider? When it hits the river that it's been taken from, it's obviously wider than three, right? So that river was the Carmelite, wasn't it? That was a pure Carmelite.
Source of the water.
Source of the water. That was a pure Carmelite. Now, a water channel that is dug out of that river, is that or is that not the equivalent of a chor that comes out of the side? Remember, we've talked about many times, if you're walking along the street and there's a little hole in the wall in which you could put things, that hole is viewed as an extension of Rishut HaRabim, right? Chorei Rishut HaRabim. Chorei Rishut HaYachid. Well, why wouldn't there be Chorei Carmelite? So what you're looking at over here is a 5-mile-long hole that is jutting out of a Carmelite, the Carmelite being the river, and now the pipe, the open pipe, the water channel, that's a hole. And therefore, no matter what the size of the hole is, the din is that a hole that juts out of a Carmelite should be considered to be a Carmelite, and therefore, who cares how wide it itself is? I never thought of that one. So how are you going to be matir even if it's less than three? Ask the Gemara, v'tahavi kichori Carmelite. Abaya Baravin and Rabbi Hanina Baravin both agree a Carmelite doesn't have holes. Meaning the halacha of chorim, in which we can extend a reshut into usable areas on its side, requires a reshut chashuva. A Carmelite, they would have, I mean, a Carmelite isn't a real reshus. A Carmelite is really a malkum patur. The Rabbanim gave it a din of reshus. They were not koveya that it had the chashivas of a reshus vis-a-vis the din of chorim. Rav Ashi says, ah, come off of it. Who ever heard of a 5 mile long chor? This has nothing to do with whether it's chorim or not. It's that 5 miles of water pipe is not a chor. Let's face it. A filotema yesh chor in the Carmelite. Hanimili bismucha. What's a chor is something that while you're there, you stick something into. Here we're talking about a 5 mile long pipe. The mufleget. I mean, how's somebody going to call that a chor? Ravina Amar. Ravina says, I have a completely different approach, avoids all of these problems. It's talking about that you had a semi-mechitza in the water. And here's what you did. You put in these little doors, basically, at the gateway of the entrance. Avad like nifke apuma. These are the nifke apuma, these little brown doors. You don't like the idea of beavers coming in under the ground into your chatzar. Or raccoons figuring out how to get into your chutz. So what you did is you cut out a lot of the area to make it hard for animals to get through. And you did this in order to control the water flow. Right now it's open. Right? Now the question is, how much space is there between those two gates that you stuck into the water? That's what we're talking about.
Three.
So if there's less than 3 tefachim, according to Rabbanan, or less than 4 tefachim, according to Chilling and Leon, you've got a full machitza. That's all that it said. Because then the distance between the two gates is lawful. And that's what we're talking about. It's very simple. You guys are making such a big deal about this. It's simple. And when the Rabbanan say 3 tefachim for lava, that's their sheet all over Shas. And Rav Shimon Gamliel said 4 tefachim, that was the time they all over Shas. In which case, hakol sharir v'kayam v'pashut. Omar Rabba. Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Hananya ben Akavya omru davar achad. Rabbi Yehuda hodi amaran, Rabbi Hananya ben Akavya tetzanya. Rabbi Hananya ben Akavya omer gizustra, sheesh bar arba amot al arba amot, chokek ba arba al arba tfachim, umimale. Omale abai, I don't see that it's the same as Rabbi Yehuda at all. Dilmaloi, atkan lokam Rabbi Yehuda hatabela diyama, good achit, an existing mechitza. But to create a virtual mechitza by bending virtual lines, Kof the God, lo. Furthermore, even Rabbi Hananya ben Akavya only was matir b'yama shel Tveri, as we'll see. And that's because the Yama Kineret yesh lo oganim, and ayarot, and karfifot, all around it. But shar meibot lo, omer abaye, uladivir Rabbi Hananya ben Akavya, I can extend this a lot further. Haytas mucha lekotel, bepochot mishlosha tfachim, Tzorach she'orka 400 v'rochba 11 omasha. Hayta zekufa, tzorach she'yehe gavoa 10 tefachim v'rochba 6 tefachim u'shnei bashum. Omer Ravuna de Rebbe Yehoshua, let's even take it another step. If it was omitted b'keren zavit, all you need is that it's gavoa 10 tefachim, and all you need is 2 tefachim and 2 mashers to create lovan on one and on the other end. Elo Tani Rabbi Hananya ben Akavya Omer Gezustra Shishba Arba Amot Al Arba Amot. Why would you ever need Arba Amot Al Arba Amot to be Chokek Ba Arba with these creative solutions? Ah, Echem Ashkachat La Beavida Ki Asita. Zok Terei Lega Mishna Amat Amayim Shehi Overet Bechatzer Ein Memalini Mena B'Shabbat Elim Ken Asula Mechitza inside the Amma Gavoa Asurat Vachim on both ends, the Kedisa and the Yitzia. Rabbi Yudon, what for? The Kotel of the Chatzer itself, which goes above the Amma, is sufficient. Tidon Mishum Mechitza. Omer Rav Yehuda, I can prove this to you. Maaseh ba'amashal avel, where there used to be mamala mimen al pizikinim v'shabbat, Omru lo, well, of course, that's because it wasn't a shiur to turn it into a shus b'fnei atzma. So it was less than 10 high or less than 4 wide. Tanu Rabban, even if you made a mechitza inside of it b'knisa, v'lo b'yitzia, or asur lo b'yitzia, v'lo asur lo b'knisa, it's not good enough. And ein mamalina me'ala b'shabbat, elim ken asur lo mechitza, srat v'achim, both in the yitzia and the knisa. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Kotel shel al-gabah, tidon mishu b'chitza, Omer Rabbi Yehuda, ma'aseh ba'amat ha'mayim, shayta ba'a mi'avel, all the way to Tzipori, v'ayu memalin mimena b'shabbat api hazakenim, Omru lo misham raya, that's mipnei shelo hayta muka sarat vachim, or rochva arba'a. Tani idach, ma'at ha'mayim over ben ha'chalonot, pachot mishlosha, b'shal shel d'liyam ha'malek, but once it's shlosha, ein mishal shadli mamale. Reb Shimon Gamliel Omer, pachot mi arba'a mishal shadli mamale, arba'a ein mishal shadli mamale. Now, the maya skina, ilema, the width of the amata mayim itself, that's crazy. That's a din that everybody is moted to, because dechiyata Reb Dimi Omer Reb Yochanan, ein karmle pachuta mi arba'a. You certainly don't want to tell me that that was lema ketanor yom l'shmaita. El, it's got to be referring to agapeh. And the deer over here is to set down your bucket and then to move it in the other direction. Problem is, kiyater of dini yom Rav Yochanan, a makom that does not have a din of reshut b'fnei atzma, and it's a makom tur, shein bar arba l'arba, mutil levnei reshut ha'achid and levnei reshut ha'rabim, the katef alav, but not to exchange. The vachelo yachliv. Yeah, that's true, Servadimi, but that's only Rishuyot Dioraita. Here we're talking about Rishuyot Dirabanan. But wait, Rabbi Yochanan said his din even of lo yachliv, even Rishuyot Dirabanan ami amar. Titzna. Kot o sheben shteicha tzirot gavoha tzirat vachim v'rochav arba'a ma'arvim shnayim ve'in ma'arvim echad. Hayu b'rosho perot, elo le mikan v'ochlin, ve'elo le mikan v'ochlin. Nifrat zakotel ares ramot, marvim shnayim, v'mrotzim marvim echad, b'pdeshu kepetach. Once it's more than 10 amot, they have no choice to be marv echad. They cannot be marv shnayim. But we asked over there, what about if the top of the kotel did not have arba marv? And Rav says, then you're in big trouble. Because then Avir Shtei Rishiyot Shaletet Bo, and you can't move it even a hair's breadth. Rabbi Yochanan says, no problem. Elu Malim Mikan V'Ochlin, Elu Malim Mikan V'Ochlin, and this is Rabbi Yochanan Lashitato, Dechiyat Ravdim Yom Rabbi Yochanan, Mokam She'en Bo Arba Al Arba, Mutal Levnei Rishut Rabbi, Ulevnei Rishut Ayachid Lekatef Alav, Ubevat Shalo Yachlifu. Yeah, but that application of Rabbi Yochanan is Ze'iri. So then Ze'iri, Kasheho, what's he going to do with the problem of the Shir of Shlosha? Ze'iri says that that's talking about the Amat HaMayim Gufa, and then we'll have no choice but to say that indeed the halacha of the size of the Carmelite is a Machlokes Tanoim. So Rav Dimi said that there's no such thing as a Carmelite that is less than 4, Alibet Rav Yochanan. It was indeed a Machlokes Tanoim. Ask the Gemara, but even according to this, it doesn't work. Because even if it's less than 4, it should have a din of Chorei Carmelit. Abaya Borav, Chanina Borav, Damra Tavayav, there ain't no such thing as Chorin Le Carmelit. Ravashi says, even if there is Chorin Le Carmelit, this is not a Chor. This is a 5-mile-long pipe. Zahani Mili Bismucha, Hachabim Mufleget. Ravina Omar, the whole thing is an exercise in futility. We're not talking about any of the above. We're not talking about the Amat HaMayim. We're not talking about the Agapayim. We're talking about the distance between the two doors that you inserted, the Nifki, that you inserted on the entryway of this Amat HaMayim. So, Avad Nifki Apuma. And the question is, what is the distance between the doors? Ozdurabanan latam ayu, and Rav Shimon ben Gamliel latam ayu.